Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I am Doug McBurney. And Bob, I know we want to talk about the telethon, Colorado Right to Life Banquet, but there's three news stories I have got to get. I've got to run these by you before.
Let's hear them.
Well, Tom Martino has gone bankrupt.
Tom Martino. The Denver consumer advocate?
Consumer advocate.
TV, radio?
TV, radio personality. He's gone bankrupt. I need to get your opinion on not just Martino's situation, bankruptcy in general.
All right.
Pat Robertson has perhaps fallen victim to Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, no.
Perhaps.
You mean his comment about divorcing your wife if she has Alzheimer's, that one?
Yes. He made that comment today, recently.
Yeah,
I was stunned. I heard that on the radio driving up.
Yeah, yesterday.
Okay, so we got Tom Martino, we got Pat Robertson, and then Ron Paul. The comment that came up in the debate, what should we do with a 30-year-old man who has no insurance, no money, and he requires 6 months of intensive care?
Mm.
You know, the Wolf Blitzer question.
All right.
For Ron Paul.
These are really good questions because they're all relevant, and as Christians, if we study God's Word, we should have a foundation of principles, biblical principles from God, that help us come down on the right side, on God's side of the various controversies of our day.
Yes, which is why I bring these questions to you, Bob, because I've witnessed you utilizing that foundation on many, many occasions over the years.
Well, it's so fun to God's Word.
Yeah, and it makes you almost always right.
No,
almost.
Well, my wife would dispute that.
Okay, but now I do want to let the audience know that. The Colorado Right to Life Banquet, my tables are so full, they're overflowing. We're having to export people to other tables.
Yeah, you've got two tables. They're full. The Bob Enyart Live table is full.
Wow.
The Denver Bible Church table, which is the best table in the whole room.
Oh, yeah.
It's got the coolest people in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like my brother and sister-in-law, Brian and Jen. The whole table's great. They've got one seat left.
Definitely worth the price of admission.
Yeah, $100 to register for Colorado Right to Life's banquet. It's this Saturday night at 7 o'clock in the Denver area. Call Colorado Right to Life. You gotta go.
Tom Tancredo will be the MC.
Yep. Alan Keyes.
Wow.
Is our speaker. Kevin Swanson. All three of them have been on the show in the last few days.
Oh, awesome.
And it's very encouraging to have such a wonderful night coming up on Saturday, right across the street from the abortion clinic.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, I think some of us will be there early to...
That's
a secret. I'm sorry.
That's a secret.
Yeah. We can't edit that out in the final. Yeah.
So, Doug, Leslie Hanks, who is a longtime leader of Colorado Right to Life, she has a blog.
Right.
Wonderful blog.
Less for Life.
Yeah. And The Passionate Pro-Lifer.
The Passionate Pro-Lifer.
And she got a comment, and this happens now and then. This is just brand new. And I'll just read it.
Okay.
Hi, Leslie R. Hanks. So they're saying they know her middle initial.
Oh.
Which she doesn't use.
Well, that's a little uncomfortable.
How is life on Ulster Street?
Oh, mentioning the street on which she lives.
How is your Honda Accord?
Whoa.
We are watching all of you. You, Ken, Joanne, Terry, Scott, Bob, all of you.
Man.
Your travels, your IP addresses, all of your internet activity. That's pretty good. I can't even keep up with myself. Your Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all of your phone calls.
Mm.
You think of it, we are there. The hand of God will punish you.
Wow.
So it's just, you know. Typical. It goes with the territory.
Man, that seems like a threatening email for Leslie.
Yeah, we see this as mildly just an attempt to intimidate.
Yeah, that sounds like an attempt to intimidate.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if the author of that email will be at the banquet. Mm. Perhaps they won't be there, and there will be another seat available.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $100 a plate, and it's filling up, folks. It is the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So be there to show your support to Colorado Right to Life, Personhood, Leslie Hanks personally.
And $3,200 has come in toward our BEL telethon for toward $20,000, our goal of $20,000, which is just so crucial, Doug.
Okay, so 60, how much?
$3,200.
Oh, $3,200. Okay, let me do some math here. So we're 16% toward our goal.
Very good.
The month is 50% over.
50% over.
Yeah, so we need to make up 34% today. That would be $6,800. And I know there's at least one person in the audience who could write that check today. I know you're out there. I know you. And maybe there's two people who could write a check for $3,400. Bring us up to 50% as we're here halfway through the month.
And, Doug, so many people do everything they can do to help continue to get the word out on this radio show on 50,000 watts and on the Internet.
Amen.
Al Sharon, Greg Jackson, Doug McBurney, Daryl Berkey, Russ Holmes, Connie Sharon.
We're all donating our time, our talents, and as much money as we can.
So many people. Will Duffy, just on and on and on with the people who help. Ken and Joe Scott.
Yeah.
Leslie Hanks. And so we really need your financial help. Please.
We need your help. Talking to you in the audience right now, maybe you can't afford $6,800. Maybe you can afford $15 or $50 or $100.
Or if you're Mike Murdoch, just send in $68.
Yeah.
We did that expose. Remember that?
I read the book. You kidding me? I remember.
Yeah.
So anything you can give, we need you to give today. Because today is the day.
Well, thank you, Doug. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. And you could subscribe. If you subscribe to our Bible studies, our videos, our video Bible studies, whatever the subscription amount, say it's $25 a month, we multiply that by 10 toward the telethon goal. So if somebody subscribed to, say, our monthly Bible study albums, $35, that would add $350 toward our goal.
Right. And you would be receiving products that are easily worth 10 times the purchase price, in my humble
opinion. With a money-back guarantee.
With a money-back guarantee.
All right. So, Doug, let's go through these because these are important issues.
Okay. Do you want to start with Ron Paul or Tom Martino?
I guess Martino's local. He's the consumer advocate.
We'll go with Tom Martino. Apparently, Tom Martino has declared bankruptcy.
Wow.
Now, when I envision a person declaring bankruptcy, I see them like walking around in a burlap parka with all their stuff in a bag, they lost their car, lost their house.
When Donald Trump declares bankruptcy, which he's done recently on one of his Trump Towers projects in Atlantic City, what happens is his investors, the banks, the people who've given him tens of millions of dollars or more, they get stiffed, and his personal wealth increases. He gets richer. So bankruptcy has a new flavor.
That seems to me to be immoral.
Something there's for the most part, the way our government, the bankruptcy laws are not just. But that doesn't mean it's inherently immoral to declare bankruptcy. Mm. We should explain that. But
please.
The laws are unjust, and it's led to a time when there's no shame any longer. In politics, in economics, there's just no shame. And so now we have Tom Martino, and I imagine that after the bankruptcy, he'll continue to live like a multimillionaire, which shows there's something really wrong.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing. When I picture someone declaring bankruptcy, I picture them hanging their head in shame and being really ashamed.
Right, and that tends to not happen either. And how about this, Doug? What if you owe taxes? The government's going to come and say, okay, we certify your bankruptcy. So you don't owe all these people, your relatives, maybe Uncle Joey, the banks that you borrowed money from. You don't owe any of them. But how about your taxes?
I think they still come at you for the taxes.
That's right. Yeah. Typically, in the vast majority of bankruptcies, the government says you don't owe any private loans any longer. In fact, you're not even allowed to pay on them.
Right.
But you do owe us all your back taxes. Mm. So if the government had any integrity, they'd reverse that.
Right.
And if they really had compassion on somebody who was struggling, they'd say, you know what? We'll forgive you the taxes. Mm. But they don't do that.
They don't.
Which shows partly that it is inherently immoral. So, Doug, let's say Tom Martino has investors and money from banks.
Which I'm sure that's part of the mix.
Totaling $70 million. Just pick a number out of it.
Okay, well, he has a lot of business activities going on.
Yeah.
He's probably got some investors, and creditors. Yeah.
And so if the people who invested that money or loaned him the money, if they support bankruptcy laws, like yeah. banks do generally. Mm-hmm. Banks incorporate bankruptcy laws in your contract.
Right.
And they don't fight to repeal the bankruptcy laws, so they basically approve of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's their default position. So if you do meet the criteria and you go bankrupt and you can't repay the bank, that's not inherently immoral because you're going along with the terms that your bank...
Oh, okay, I see. So both parties have agreed to the bankruptcy structure.
Right.
And if that occurs, you're not necessarily immoral for participating.
Right. If the people you do business with approve of the bankruptcy laws.
Right.
But if you advocate the bankruptcy laws or the continuation of them, to whatever extent they're immoral and violate God's command, thou shalt not steal, to that extent you are guilty and you are part of the problem and bear responsibility for the corruption of our of our nation.
So Tom Martino will probably continue to advocate the bankruptcy laws on his radio program, more than likely, and he will not be seen marching down the 16th Street Mall in an old bomber jacket and dirty shoes. That's not
probably not. And you know what? I enjoy Tom's program very much so. I mean, I love when he goes after, you know, when he goes after contractors who've ripped people off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's
Tom Martino's stock and trade is integrity in business.
That's right. That's I've always associated.
That's what he sells.
Right.
That's why he is a commodity, because he advocates integrity in business. So his entire life is bundled up in this bankruptcy filing.
Mm.
And that is the antithesis. So it'll hurt to some level. It'll hurt his clout and his following and his audience.
Well, I hope so. That would mean someone in his audience is actually paying attention. Hmm. I hope it will hurt.
But I wish him the best, and these are difficult times.
Yeah, they are hard times.
All right, so so that's bankruptcy.
You know, I can honestly say I haven't listened to Tom Martino's show in I just can't even remember. I
heard the lady whose house was raided because she was raising chickens poorly.
Oh,
he did a whole show on it.
Raising chickens poorly?
Yeah, she had received these ribbons.
It doesn't take much to raise a chicken. Have you ever seen a chicken?
It doesn't take much to raise them poorly either.
Well, I mean.
So schools would come to her and get chickens and eggs and chicks,
okay.
And she got ribbons. But, you know, the animal police.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
Well,
she was torturing the chickens or not. I don't know.
I should start listening to Martino's show. That actually sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right, now let's move on to Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson has perhaps laid the groundwork for his own divorce by making a comment that I haven't heard the exact quote. I just heard
saw the transcript, and we've seen the reports and heard the sound
bites. He seemed to imply that he could biblically support an idea that you could divorce your spouse if they were suffering from Alzheimer's.
Doug, he takes calls from the audience, which is difficult if you don't have a biblical foundation.
That's right. You better be on your toes.
You're going to end up making it up as you go along, which I think increasingly we could see that so-called Christian leaders do. That's what they do. So he was asked, this guy in the audience said, my friend is cheating on his wife, but his wife has Alzheimer's.
Mm.
So he's going out with another woman. And Pat Robertson said, look, if he's going to do that, he might as well get a clean start and divorce his wife who has Alzheimer's and just make sure he provides that she's taken care of in a home somewhere. But he could divorce her and his co-host. Somebody said, yeah, but isn't it till death do you part for
Hello?
Better or worse?
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, Alzheimer's is like death.
Oh.
So
unbelievable,
Doug. And so hopefully Focus on the Family will publicly, first they'll contact Pat Robertson and ask him to recant
publicly. Yeah.
Publicly repent and correct himself. Or they don't even have to take that private step because that's involving a private sin.
Well, this is a very public statement he made.
Public sins, you don't have to contact a famous person who probably you couldn't reach if you tried for a year.
Yeah.
There is no biblical requirement to contact a public person who's committed a sin in public.
Mm.
But you could take that step to be gracious if you'd like to. So Jim Daly at Focus on the Family and our other major Christian ministries should ask Pat Robertson to repent, to correct himself. They should confront him. And our experience shows that that's not going to happen. Our experience shows that it's the good old boy club.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I think I'm going to have to I'm going to fire off an email to some members of the board at American Right to Life. Maybe American Right to Life would take it upon themselves.
I bet you they'd be happy to.
To rebuke Mr.
Robertson. Yeah. Now,
or to send him in for an Alzheimer test and find out if maybe he's just a little off his game, because that's just shocking that he would say that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, and it was rabbits, by the way.
Rabbits?
Not chickens.
Oh, back to the Tom Martin. Oh, rabbits.
And Peter Boyles was all over the rabbits, too.
Oh, is that? Well, that makes it a lot worse, I think, because rabbits have eyes, and rabbits can smile.
Chickens have eyes.
But chickens can't smile.
Oh.
Yeah. So that makes, and they have fur, and furry animals are inherently cuter than feathered animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That makes it a lot worse.
Okay, so bankruptcy we've discussed, and Pat Robertson saying you could divorce your wife, and I guess not just only Alzheimer's, but maybe any
serious mental illness. Can I play devil's advocate?
I'd rather you not, but sure, go right ahead.
I hate it when someone says that.
No, go ahead.
But I couldn't help but,
think
of the, you know, people say that if your spouse is not providing themselves physically and mentally to you,
it's a
form of abandonment.
Right.
And so if someone is in a hospital bed, they don't even know who you are.
Right.
And they're not able to.
Abandonment. You know, the Bible says we are to give food to people who cannot feed themselves.
Ah, yes, that's true.
Because you love your neighbor. You even love your enemy.
That's right.
You especially love your wife and give your life for her as Christ gave his life for the church. And Christ didn't give his life for the church because of how great the church was doing.
No, I don't think
so. And serving him and how alert it was.
No.
But so if there's someone who can't feed themselves, then you feed them. The Bible says if somebody will not work, then hunger is a good motivator.
There's the distinction, I think.
Yeah. So if you have someone, a spouse who's abandoned the marriage, then there is grounds for divorce. Exodus 21, 1 Corinthians 7. But if you have someone who's sick, or let's say somebody robs a bank and they get thrown in jail for 20 years, that's abandonment.
Right.
And you don't have to stay married to that person.
No, and they rob the bank of their own volition.
Yeah, let's say you know that your wife is being persecuted for being a godly Christian woman, say saving babies at Planned Parenthood, and she's thrown in jail for 2 years, and then you say, I'm going to divorce her because she abandoned me. That's unjust. So it comes down to grounds, and when you talk about grounds for divorce biblically, is what was the intention of the person who you're saying you're no longer bound to? What was their intention? And when somebody comes down with Alzheimer's, that's not their willful direction in their life.
Right.
So Pat Robertson, he's making it up as he goes along, which means at least half the time he's going to be wrong. And it's another example that our Christian leaders are off of the moral foundation, and they don't hold one another accountable.
That's a huge point, Bob. Where are the Christian organizations holding one another responsible when they make a gross error?
Zero. Billy Graham says he has stuff like this in his books for 20 years that you could have an abortion if, if the baby's handicapped, for example, or if the father's a criminal. And so the prophets in the Old Testament, were they hesitant to rebuke the kings and the priests?
No, that was their number one thing. They went after the religious leaders and the political leaders first.
Yeah, and the apostles in the New Testament, they rebuked one another.
They did.
Well, Paul rebuked the other guys.
Paul did a lot of that rebuke.
But and Jesus rebuked the apostles and the Pharisees and the priests and pretty much everybody else.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and just so you know, I had to reach really, really hard to try to find that devil's advocate position, because on its face, what Pat Robertson said is completely ludicrous.
Right.
And what I was doing was trying to reach into Pat's head and try to figure out where could that have come from.
It came from the same place as when he said on CNN that he understands China's reason for forced abortion.
Right.
And who is he to criticize their, there's simply too many little Chinese people in the world, and a forced abortion of another 100 million might be good for the planet. I mean, Pat Robertson is off the moral reservation.
Yeah.
He does not have a solid biblical foundation. And so, and Doug, our Christian leaders generally have this problem, and they're not held accountable. So if you do try to hold others accountable, then you make yourself vulnerable. Because here at Bob and Yurt Live, if I sin publicly, you know, plenty of people, there'll be Christian leaders who will get excited. They'll go out for a beer.
Yeah, they would line up to rebuke you.
Like when my show got canceled from Channel 53 in the Lambda Report on Channel 6. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
They went on the air. It was the nation's first weekly homosexual TV show. And they popped a cork from a champagne bottle.
Right.
They celebrated Bob and Yurt Live was canceled. And that Monday night, right at our time slot, Channel 53 went to all black.
Yeah.
And you heard the audio. We're back.
I remember.
Just when the homosexuals thought it was safe to turn on the TV, Bob and Yurt Live is back.
Now, we don't want to lump Pat Robertson in with Lambda.
No.
At least not yet. He hasn't gone that far yet. But with no biblical foundation, there's no telling where he'll go.
He's endorsed Rudy Giuliani. He endorses pro-abortion.
Well, then I will lump him in with Lambda, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and Newt Gingrich, in fact, this sounds like...
Yeah, this sounds like Pat Robertson might be working on Newt Gingrich's campaign. But that was cancer, though. Newt's wife had cancer.
He cheated on his wife when she had cancer.
She was laid up in the hospital dying of cancer.
In the hospital, he went into her hospital room and told her he was divorcing her because he loved this other woman.
Dropped the bundle of papers.
And that
was
Newt Gingrich. And then when he decided he was thinking about running for the Republican nomination, like he fantasizes doing every 4 years, the first thing he did is he went on James Dobson's radio show and said, I repent for adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, I almost fell off my car seat laughing. It was so predictably absurd, and it's like Rick Perry today at Liberty University talking about his faith, that led him to promote Gardasil and all.
United Methodist Church.
And Barack Obama at the Western Wall praying.
Skull cap and everything.
Because he needs the Jewish vote.
Right.
Perry needs the Christian vote.
Mm-hmm.
And Christians don't know when they're being had, because our Christian leaders like being had because they like the money and influence and power and the seat at the table that comes with it.
That's right.
So what's our last?
Well, wait, that reinforces Doug McBurney's first rule of Republican politics.
Yeah.
First, bamboozle the Christians. If you can't do that, you'll never get the Republican nomination.
That's
the first rule.
Yeah.
And they all follow it.
Yeah.
Now, finally, let's go to Ron Paul. There was a comment made at the by Wolf Blitzer at the debate, asking about a 30-year-old man. He has no money, he has no insurance. Suddenly he needs 6 months of intensive care. Are you saying that the government should simply let him die?
All right.
Mr. Paul.
So somebody sympathetic can't pay for their own health care, and maybe it's life-threatening. They may die.
Yep.
Certainly that's a real-world scenario.
I'm sure. Yeah,
well,
it happens.
So what liberals do, what people who have soft hearts do, maybe they don't think carefully enough. Maybe they don't care about right and wrong. They say, we need to build a safety net for people like this.
Uh-huh.
So the safety net becomes a hammock.
Yeah.
And tens of millions of people are demotivated to make sure that they could provide for themselves and their children, their loved ones, in case of a medical emergency.
Wow.
They're demotivated.
Wow. Bob, you just scared me. Because I just had this thought that perhaps our nation is too far along in the hammock in the welfare state.
It's
like a heroin addict. We might not be able to just pull the plug on all these dependent people.
And this is what happens with
generations.
Democracy, when people get to vote for leaders who get to declare what our policy and our laws are, then people want to take money from their neighbors. That's why this representative stuff in democracy is so deadly and counterproductive. And so the cure is worse than the disease.
Mm.
Like, it'd be worse to just go to this guy and just shoot him and say, see, there's no longer a problem with health care bills.
Wow.
That's worse than the disease.
That's not a good solution.
And so when the government says we're going to provide when people can't, then it demotivates millions of men from working really hard. And they never seem to calculate the loss of life and the death and the depression that comes from these socialist policies.
Wow.
So how about when you say to millions of men, you know, if you don't work hard, the government will make sure that your kids have shelter and food and education and health care.
Yeah.
Really, they'll basically be cared for. And so then millions of men, not exaggerating, millions of men become losers when they could have been valuable members of their own family and providers. And how do you calculate that?
An incalculable loss.
More people die because the government says we care than if the government did what was right and not spent other people's money. Family, neighbors, churches, medical professionals, to the extent that they think it's reasonable, they would help with charity, but then family and friends would really be squeezed, and we would hold one another accountable to work hard.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's go to the phones in Denver, Colorado, author of We Won't Be Fooled Again, Greg Jackson, on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart.
Hey, guys.
Greg.
Something to add regarding Pat Robertson. Why would anybody be surprised that Pat Robertson said what he said? After all, this is the guy who, at the very beginning of the primary in 2008, endorsed a man who was on his third marriage, estranged from his kid, in favor of same-sex marriage and abortion on demand, Rudy Giuliani. And with regard to Jim Daly rebuking him, what good would that do? Jim Daly, the guy that's breaking bread right now with Planned Parenthood to find common ground on reducing the number of babies who are murdered in the womb.
That's what Bill and Hillary Clinton, that's what they've said has been their goal for decades now.
Safe, legal, and rare.
Right. And Focus on the Family says we don't want to make them safe or legal. But we do want to make them rare. And so it's just not right. It confuses the issue. And it puts victory further down the road.
You know, It encourages me to hear more of these stories, because I think Christians are at the point now, and that's why we wrote the book, We Won't Get Fooled Again, where the fights for righteousness in America went wrong and how to make it right again. Christians deserve to know the truth about many of these false shepherds like Pat Robertson, so that they won't keep falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
And keep giving money. Right, exactly.
Greg, when does the book come out? Where can I get it?
November, hopefully, Barnes & Noble and Amazon and everywhere, and hopefully,
co-authored,
Lord willing.
By Steve Dace and Greg Jackson. Following on the heels of Greg's bestseller,
Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lives. Greg, are you going to be at the Colorado Right to Life Banquet?
I'm going to be there. Can't wait.
Well, there you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
As if our audience members needed yet another reason to sign up for the Colorado Right to Life Banquet, go to ColoradoRightToLife.com and sign up. It's Saturday at 6 p.m. at the Renaissance Hotel. And how are we doing on the telethon? Did we get that check for $6,800 yet to bring us to 50? Okay, we're still waiting for
Thank
the
you,
check
Thank you, Greg Jackson. Appreciate your call. And Doug McBurney.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. And Doug, thanks so much.
God bless you, Bob.
Appreciate you. And our website is kgov.com. You can click on the store. Click on donate or support, help with the telethon, and I'll see you Saturday night at the banquet. God bless you.